Good morning, everyone. I've entitled this broadcast today, Coming Out of Babylon. And I think Walt Stickel is going to be joining us in a few minutes. I just got off the phone with him a few minutes ago, and we've been talking. And I've been talking a lot about that, and I'm going to share in a little bit after Walt comes on. I'd like for him to do this, but had a very unusual experience this morning when I tuned into American Family Radio and heard a guest of American Family Radio, a former Catholic priest, Father Frank Provone, promoting St. Patrick as a priest. St. Patrick was not a priest. And so, welcome aboard, Walt. I'm glad you could join us this morning. And I just was sharing with Facebook that we're talking today about coming out of Babylon. It's basically what I named this broadcast, Coming Out of Babylon. And glad you could join me this morning on Facebook. And welcome all those that joined us on Facebook already this morning earlier. And anyway, Walt is probably going to be jumping on board here. Whoops, he's left. He's going to probably come back in, having a little trouble getting in on the call today. He'll be back with us shortly, I'm sure. There's a scripture in the Bible that I've looked up at the request of, here he is, trying to get back in again. I see you're up on the screen, Walt, but I can't hear you. I don't know if you have your mic muted or not, but it might be easier to put your video on so I can see what's going on if you can, but if you can, I understand that. But I can't hear you if you're trying to talk. I see you're there. Let me check my mic. Oh, I had my mic turned all the way down. Now can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. I had my mic muted. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That was what was... I just got a note that YouTube has removed my content. I wonder what that's all about. I wonder what content they didn't like and they took down this morning. I'm going to try to find out real quick while we're on here so that Facebook will know what YouTube took down from me. I got a request this morning from a gentleman in Pakistan that he wants me to address his congregation online, so we're going to try to set up a time and another date to do that. But anyway, I want to welcome aboard Walt. We've been talking about probably about an hour about Babylon, and Walt asked me to pull up a scripture this morning about this, and I've pulled it up. There's a couple scriptures, but one of them is in the 18th chapter of Revelation, the 4th verse. It says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." You know, and that's a very apropos scripture for today, I believe, is that we are in the midst of Babylon. And if it's okay, Walt, I'd like to share with my Facebook audience what happened to me this morning when I turned on American Family Radio. Can I share that with them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about Patrick. This is St. Patrick's Day. Now, Patrick would never have ever endorsed himself being called a saint. He said he was a sinner saved by grace. Patrick was not a Catholic. And, okay, I just pulled this up from YouTube. I know I'm jumping around a little bit. It says, we want to let you know our team reviewed your content, and we think it violates our medical misinformation policy. We know you may not have realized this was a violation of our policy, so we're not applying a strike to your channel. However, we have removed the following content from YouTube, and this is a video I entitled Put Not Your Confidence in Man. We realize this may be disappointing news, but it's our job to make sure that YouTube is a safe place for all. If you think we've made a mistake, you can appeal this decision. You'll find more details below. Our policy says we do not allow claims about COVID-19 vaccinations that contradict expert consensus from local head authorities of the World Health Organization. WHO. What you can do next. We want to help your content on YouTube, so please review YouTube's community guidelines. Double check how your content may have violated your guidelines. Appeal here if you think we've made a mistake, and so on. So I must have said something negative about the World Health Organization and the policies that was perpetrated by the Center for Disease Control, and they took down this video. And YouTube, I am very much against what you're doing, censoring people's opinions and coming against people's right to voice their own opinions about things. That is nothing more than social dictatorship. Anyway, I went on this American Family Radio and I tuned into this host, and she said, I have a very special guest today. She said, my guest is Father Frank Prevost, and he's going to talk about St. Patrick. Now, Father Frank Prevost has been a Roman Catholic for years and years and years and years. He still doesn't take a stand against Roman Catholicism. He still endorses Roman Catholicism, and yet she's going to promote Patrick through Father Frank Prevost, who promotes him as a priest. He never said that Patrick was not Catholic. That Patrick had started over 300 Protestant churches. See how deceitful that is, Walt? Walt and I both were personal friends of Richard Bennett. We had him on our program. And why don't you just give a quick summary of Richard Bennett and our affiliation with him, Walt?
Well, Richard Bennett, I believe, I don't know the exact, he was 22 or 23 years, you know, a priest in the Roman Catholic Church, and, I think, Larry, you can introduce him better than I can.
Well, he was a priest.
It's real important to understand.
Yeah, he was a priest in Trinidad, and he was brought up in the Roman Catholic Church. His parents were both Roman Catholic, and he began to study the scriptures, and he talked about one of the two most important chapters in the Bible that brought him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ was the first and second chapter of Ephesians, which Walt has that posted up on his website on granddesignexposed.com. You might want to check that website out, granddesignexposed.com. Anyway, we interviewed him. He basically told his life story, his testimony, how God gloriously brought him out of the Roman Catholic Church, and how he, like Luther, began to see that the just should live by faith, not by works. And, you know, he relayed that while he was in seminary, that the first 3 years of his study, they were not even allowed to read the Bible without permission, and they were studying all the great philosophers, Aristotle and Kant and Plato and all these different philosophers that had nothing to do with the Bible. And so that's really You know, he came against Roman Catholicism in a very miraculous way and had a big impact on being ministering to many Roman Catholics that came out of the Catholic Church. God used Richard Bennett and is still using his website today. Walt, you know, we were talking earlier in our conversation about Babylon, and I had the question maybe you could address a little bit. Walt had sent me an interview that he'd done with a person he'd come to have a relationship with a number of years ago, and I listened to a video. This guy was doing a historical analysis of Babylon, and well, how would you describe the when it talks about in Daniel? Maybe you could explain, because I know I've had challenges with this because I've had so many different interpretations down through the years. Can you talk to people about when people talk about the 70th week of Daniel? Can you talk how would John Daniels have covered this subject on the 70th week of Daniel?
Well, in Daniel 7:1-8, it mentions Babylon, the lion, and Medo-Persia, the bear, and Greece, the leopard, and Rome. And you know, when you start talking about Babylon, I realized, you know, I spent hours putting, I've got a book up on the internet called The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, Book 1. And you know, just repeat that verse about coming out of Babylon, Larry.
It's in the Revelation 18:4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." And there's a couple other scriptures that talk about, "Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing."
So when you ask about talk about the beasts and connect him to Babylon, it's a very, very big subject. And myself, I still think God is bringing me out. The older I get and the more I see what's going on in the world today, you know, I mean, we are living in Babylon. And sometimes it kind of overwhelms me. You know how big Babylon is. Babylon is it's tied totally to all our holidays. Christmas, Easter, give you an example, Halloween, and it's amazing how the beast, Roman Catholicism, uses and hides behind I was talking about the holidays. I know where I wanted to go. Is like Halloween. Halloween to the world is a day of pumpkins and ghosts and witches and trick or treat. But Halloween is a Reformation day. That's the day that Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses on the on the wall of the on the door of the church. In other words, it's not an accident. It's not an accident that that has been just completely covered up. That Halloween completely covers up it. Like when I was a kid, I mean, I used to dress up and walk around the neighborhood and get a bag of candy, and you know, and I was raised a Lutheran, and it's part of it kind of ties into exactly what St. Patrick's Day is all about, you know, and sophistry and casuistry is a favorite tool of the beast. Casuistry definition is a dishonest reasoning on questions of morality by application of general principles like same-sex marriage, abortion, or future antichrist. Casuistry is a system of rationalization to do legally what is forbidden morally.
Wow.
And sophistry is the art of influencing. That's a powerful statement there.
It is.
That's exactly what we see going on in the world today. make evil good and good evil.
Yeah, so, you know, rather than legalizing morality, they're legalizing immorality. That's what they're doing.
That's right. That's exactly what we see today in the world. And sophistry, the definition of sophistry is the art of influencing the thought and conduct of an audience by argumentation that is seemingly plausible, but is actually invalid and misleading. And one is like global warming. That defines global warming.
That's right.
And like we're living in a period right now where we don't have freedom of conscience.
Well, you know, I think another perfect example of that is the legalizing of cutting off minor males' genitalia and minor females' breasts, all in the name of gender inclusion. That is absolute child abuse, is what it is, but yet they're making it legal. And for those who come out against it, Biden has the audacity to call it sin if they come out against it. If that isn't calling evil good and good evil, I don't know what is. I mean, 25 years ago, I said, no, I'm not going to place children with homosexuals. I'm not going to be a part of it. And now we've got the President of the United States saying, if you come against it, you're a sinner.
I believe if you go to my webpage, Grand Design Exposed, and you scroll down. I have 40 blue buttons. 40 blue buttons. And 25 is who rules. Just click on that. Who rules? It isn't updated because Barack Obama was president, in the first 6 months of his presidency, he went over to Egypt, and he went to the pyramids, and then he had a trip to Israel, and then he went over to see the Pope. And And Donald Trump almost did a duplicated that after he was in office about 6 months, and he did the same routine. He went to Israel, and then he went over to the Vatican.
Have you ever noticed how all the presidents end up going to the Wailing Wall? Almost every one of them goes to the Wailing Wall. And I saw a little blip that Joe Biden has announced to the world that Jimmy Carter has asked him to do his eulogy when he dies.
Say that again, Larry.
Joe Biden.
Joe
Biden has now announced to the world that whenever Jimmy Carter dies, Jimmy Carter has asked him to do the eulogy for Jimmy Carter.
We're getting back to the who. We're getting who rules. I mean, in other words, there's a possibility that Wilson, but I couldn't get a picture or nothing, so I didn't document it. But Eisenhower was the first president to meet the Pope. And I got a picture of Eisenhower with the Pope. I got Eisenhower with Cardinal Spellman. And I've got Martin. Socialist Martin Luther King with his with visiting the Pope. And and Kennedy. I got a picture of Kennedy with the Pope. But one thing that Kennedy didn't do, he did not kiss the ring. And LBJ, Pope Paul the Sixth met Johnson in New York, you know, and then the next president was Nixon. There's a picture of Nixon with the Pope at the Vatican, and then Gerald Ford at the Vatican on June 3rd, 1975, and Jimmy Carter was the first Pope to go to the White House. President Jimmy Carter became the first president to welcome a Pope to the White House. The two agreed not to speak as diplomats, but as Christian brothers. Let me say that again. Man. The two agreed not to speak as diplomats, but as Christian brothers. Now, I don't have to say anymore. Just that's what happened. Okay, they agreed. Then Ronald Reagan was the next president to meet the Pope. He met John Paul II, 1982. President Reagan reestablished diplomatic relations with the Vatican in 1984. Now, the reason why the diplomatic relations were established again is because from 1867, after the Civil War, the United States dropped all relationships with the Vatican. And the reason for it is because there was so much evidence that the papacy was part of the problems with the Civil War. And I think this is something that some of these things, when I found out, kind of stunned me. And this is one that really stunned me, because it's in your time and my time, not depending on how old you are. President Reagan was the first president to be sworn in front, facing the obelisk. all other presidents were on the other side of the Capitol building. So Reagan was the first president, and every president since has been sworn in front of the obelisk. The next one was Bush, and then Clinton, Hillary, and President Bill Clinton greet the Pope at the Sacred Heart Cathedral in Newark, New Jersey, in October 4th, 1995. Now, I'm not here to, you know, I'm not trying to, I'm just giving some evidence. I mean, who rules? Then it was George Bush Jr. And then here's a picture of Nancy Pelosi greets Pope Benedict as President Bush and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice look on. It shows Nancy kissing the ring of the Pope. And here's something that I didn't know, and you know, I didn't know this until I was probably 50 years old. But every election, there's the Al Smith dinner where the Archbishop of New York sits at a dinner. They have a dinner, and here's a picture of Cardinal Egan separating the two. And I have a comment. This is called separating church and state. I mean, they have a dinner, a fundraising church. I mean, I'm not trying to make this stuff up, you know. But this is the reality.
I was thinking when you were talking about Reagan, you know, bringing relations back together with Roman Catholicism. I was thinking about Ian Paisley and how he welcomed the Pope when he came to Ireland in the Parliament. How he stood up and said, "I reject the Antichrist," and how they hauled him out of the Parliament. Remember that, Walt? Ian Paisley.
And they were a little rough on him too.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then I have a picture of Obama, you know, at the Al Smith dinner, Obama and McCain. And of course, every president, except this last. Except this last one, this last election, because of the COVID, they sent letters. They didn't have the dinner. And if you go to the top of my page, you'll find that on my page, you'll see the speech that Trump give to the Pope, and he's very, very, very pro-Catholic, very pro-Catholic. And here's Obama with the Pope, and of course we had Trump with the Pope, and O'Biden's, he's been there 2-3 times. I got a picture of Obama. Obama surrounded by Roman Catholics, Jesuit-trained intelligence leaders. And I have the document over to the left. You'll see who they are and where they went to college. You know. For me... I started my webpage in 2011, and the stuff that you see on there is just my sources and my research. I mean, the evidence is so immense of the influence of Rome, and that's the fourth beast of Daniel.
Yeah, and one thing I'd like to just touch on, I received a video from a friend of mine. I don't know how she ran into it, but she sent this, and it was about a meeting in Georgetown University between three rabbis, and they were exalting Pope Francis. And this top rabbi was talking about he was very close friends of Pope Francis, and how that they were really trying to promote an ecumenical spirit between Israel and Rome. And it was all about ecumenism. And that's exactly, you know, there's some people say, well, the Jews run the country. Some people say, no, Rome runs the country. Walton here and I are here to say, no, it's a cabal. They're all in cahoots together. It's all under one umbrella. Would you agree with that, Walt?
And the Bible calls it Mystery Babylon.
Yeah, that's right.
And so it's a real education. Do you really understand Babylon? And I'm not going to even get into it. But there's a lot of, you know, I wonder who controls, who rules. I said, you know, then I took you to my page on button 20. But on my front page, I have a link to it. There's a picture. It's who controls the United States, who controls the United States government. And it's the devil's playground, Jesuit Georgetown University. Now, Jesuit Georgetown University was founded in 1789, the same year that we became officially a country. And it sits right there in Washington, D.C., up the street. And I got a link there to York Glisman, made this video, and it's called Who Controls the U.S. Government? The Devil's Playground. It's really an education to watch that. It just takes your breath away.
Yeah, I've seen that video. I've seen that video, and it does. It's probably one of the most enlightening videos I've ever seen, because you've heard the saying, a picture's worth 1,000 words. Well, these pictures are worth 20, 30, 40,000 words, okay? And also, I would like to just state, and I think everybody knows if they hear my daily devotionals, that we're not in any way minimizing the sovereignty of God over all things when we talk about the devil's playground. You know, I knew a guy one time saying, he used to say, Satan is God's devil, okay? God has ordained all of this that is happening to glorify himself, just like he did with Pharaoh. How he raised up Pharaoh. And so anyway, I just want to make sure that we reemphasize today that we are not in any way minimizing the sovereignty of God over all these end time events. However, we are admonished, okay, and exhorted. You know, and people don't want to hear this. We're exhorted and admonished to take a stand against evil, to be not weary in well-doing. And the only way we can do it, we know, is by the grace of God. The only reason that Walt and I are on here today, we believe in predestination. We believe in election. We believe that we were foreordained to eternal life. We believe that we were predestinated unto adoption. And we also believe that we are living in end time, in the end times. And we're just pointing out what Revelation has already pointed. A lot of people deny that the book of Revelation has any prophetic meaning for today, that it all happened in 70 AD. And like I've said many times, we're living in 2023, not 70 AD. Okay, Walt, I didn't mean to, but Walt, we have been going for 35 minutes, and so we probably ought to try to wind this down in the next 10 minutes if we can.
Okay, we've been going for the last
35 minutes. Yeah.
Well, I always people. It's so easy to get into a bait. The Jews run the world. No, it's the Jesuits that run the world. The Bible says that it's Babylon that runs the world. Okay, Mystery Babylon. And I have a. A graphic up here. It shows the Vatican on the left with an obelisk and the U.S. Capitol with an obelisk. And it's been said that, gosh, they look alike. It looks like Rome.
Yeah.
Well, it does. And the graphic says the Babylonian connection revealed in the Babylonian Talmud, a 10-book edition. And then I forget what verse that is, but this is a Bible verse. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I mean, that picture itself tells you exactly the influence of Babylon. And I mean, Larry, could you just name off a few enemies of Israel in the Old Testament?
Well, yeah, we've got a whole line of them. We've got the Amalekites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites, you know, and they were all pagans, and they were all enemies of God.
And today, in modern Babylon, we have the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the Methodist, the Baptist, you know, and of course there's many various of the Baptist, but I'm not talking, you know, but no, these are all enemies, right? Because all the seminaries, every single seminary has been overtaken and is teaching Babylonian religion. They're teaching sun worship. Because you know, but anyway, I think Larry, you know, it overwhelms me. Listen, I look at my webpage and I scroll down and I look at some of the buttons that I got up there. You know, it overwhelms myself. It overwhelms myself. You know.
Well, that scripture you just alluded to is in Galatians, the 4th chapter. And, of course, Paul is talking here about the bondwoman opposed to Christ. And he says in the 18th verse there, well, he says in the 16th verse, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And he says, cast out the bondwoman. Who's the bondwoman? There's several words that are synonymous. The bondwoman, those who are under the law, those who are into works, those who are denying grace, those who are coming against the doctrine of election. Those are all the bondwoman. They're all taking credit for their own righteousness and leaving out the righteousness of Christ and his imputed righteousness on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. He says, even so, when we were children, we were bondage under elements of the world. But in the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That was one of the things that Richard Bennett, that's one of his favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. He says, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He said, when he came to a saving knowledge of Christ, he would cry out, "Abba, Father." He said, "I would no longer listen to people come to me to confess their sins. I told them to go to their Abba Father." And, you know, I'm glad you pointed this out, Walt, because he says here that very succinctly that, you know, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Walt and I have become the enemies of a lot of people because we're exposing the Roman Catholic beast system. People don't want to hear the truth. They want to hide their head in the sand, and they want to, what I call their beast deniers, and they want to say, "You're denying God's sovereignty by exposing evil." We're not denying God's sovereignty. We're affirming God's sovereignty. And anyway, Walt, we've been going 40 minutes. I think we should bring this to a conclusion because we get too long. It takes a long time to load these once they get to over about 30 minutes. So I'm going to give you the last word and have you kind of sum the broadcast up today.
Well, I kind of give you a kind of an introduction to my webpage, thegranddesignexposed.com. And, you know, I used to have a broadcast myself. It was called Mystery Babylon Radio. And, there's enough. This here, my webpage, by an author, could take this and make a book out of it. And you'll see. I have a link to my blog talk, Mystery Babylon News Radio. And little did I know when I even named it how appropriate it is, because that's what's going on, you know, and to get caught off and start debating, "It's the Jews. It's the Jesuits. The Jesuits are crypto Jews." I mean, it's all Babylon. And naming one, and Larry named many names of the enemies of Israel. It's like getting on one enemy. And I think, you know, Revelations, I mean, Revelations was written 2,000 years ago, and we're seeing the fulfillment of, you know, and most of Babylon. This is prevalent in Martin Luther's time as it is today. But anyway, I think it is. It's given me a little. It's an overload for me to read my own webpage. It really is.
Well, you've done it by the grace of God. He's given you the strength, and a lot of work has gone into that. And I would just conclude by saying, you know, we'll continue this, God being in the matter, we'll continue this next Friday, same time, same station, and we'll continue this dialogue. And, you know, I would say one of the largest beast enablers right now is the modern day evangelical churches, like Walt stated, because they're not standing against Rome. They've gone in amongst Rome. The evangelicals and Catholics together document, and the Lutherans and Catholics together document, and J.I. Packer and Jim Colson and all these people, Chuck Colson, I'm sorry, have joined Rome, and now they call Rome, you know, there's no protest left. I mean, Ken Copeland says there's no protest left, and he's joined with Pope Francis. And so we'll continue this next week. I want to thank Walt for being on with us again this Friday. I always look forward to these Friday fellowships with Walt. And Walt, we'll look forward to having you on again next week, God being in the matter.
Yes, Larry, I just want to close with this. St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick was not a Catholic.
Amen. Yeah, it's absolutely a fact. And you can go and I've left Richard Bennett's video on Patrick on all my social media platforms, so you can go and watch that to get your boat loaded and get the evidence of Patrick and his involvement in the Protestant movement. You all have a good day, and I'll say goodbye for now, Walt, and have a good afternoon.
God bless. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, to all of our Facebook audience, I'm glad that you joined us today, and I would encourage you to go visit Walt's website, granddesignexposed.com. You'll get your boat loaded. God bless.